Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Jessica Pierce and Mark Beckoff. We're discussing their new book, A Dog's World, Imagining the Lives of Dogs in a World Without Humans. Mark, immediately, physical shape will change. One thing that comes to me right away is that the snout, I never recognized that as a significant feature of the canis lupus familiaris. What is the advantage of a longer snout? Why is it that the shorter snout dogs will likely either change or leave us?
Well, the shorter snout dogs may not be able to breathe very well on their own when they're taking a lot of exercise. You know, one of the things all dogs are going to have to do is get physically fit, if you will. They're going to have to be able to get food and defend food, find a home range in the territory and defend it. And if they can't breathe well, then they'll just lose out. I mean, there's just no other way to put it when they're on their own. Their sight may change too, because the longer nosed dogs may have better sight. You know, people have speculated that the length of the nose might be important in, activities such as hunting, or finding their way around. I'm not sure we really know that, but the physical attributes of the dogs, you know, body shape, leg length, are going to really change on their own as they begin to breed on their own. You know, we won't be around to force them to breed with certain other individuals.
And so we can expect that they'll be rewarded for speed because they have to chase predators, rewarded for jaw strength, like wolves. However, the size of the dogs, is that significant, Mark? Is it going to be, oftentimes you mention in your book that the dogs will adapt to their ecological niche. So is there a perfect size for the future?
No, I think that small dogs may do well because, you know, they won't be so appealing as a meal to another carnivorous predator. They may be able to hide. They don't have the caloric demands that larger dogs might have. So when we asked people, you know, when we started the book, you know, who's going to survive? Everybody said, well, big dogs. So, no, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that that's going to be the case at all. I mean, maybe way down the road when they're breeding among their own and we're not forcing them to, you know, make children with certain other dogs, they'll morph into a certain we call it a phenotype, you know, the size, the shape, the color. But I'm not so sure about that. Dogs right now are so diverse, it may take a really long time for genes, if you will, to assort to a standard post-human dog.
Jessica, will color of the dog matter? Will the fur, the hair, short-haired, long-haired, is there any preference that we can project?
It will depend on the ecosystem that dogs are trying to survive within. So, you know, you can imagine a Chihuahua, a very short-haired dog, trying to survive in Alaska would be a challenge. Likewise, a very long, thick-furred dog trying to survive in Phoenix would be a challenge. So I think there'll be some changes based on, you know, in the thought experiment, if humans disappeared tomorrow, dogs would face some real challenges based on us having, we get dogs not based on their suitability to ecosystem, but based on our own preferences and whims. And so I think it'll depend. It'll depend on where dogs are and what they're dealing with.
You mentioned in the course of one of your chapters that the reddish dogs or the gray dogs, reddish, will be more likely to thrive than either the darker haired dogs like a black lab or the fair dogs, the very fair dogs, like a golden retriever. So I understand ecological niche, but let's presume that they're going to be moving towards the temperate zone. What would be the best color for a temperate zone? What can we imagine?
Again, I think it will depend on the ecosystem dogs are trying to survive within, because, you know, camouflage, for example, might be important. But you can envision, you know, if you think of dingoes aren't dogs, but if you think of the adaptation of coat color to environment, we might see something like that. And in the book, we do have a prototype dog of the future, and she is in fact a reddish in color, and she happens to be my friend Poppy, and that seems like a likely scenario that we might end up with.
She's short-haired. The photograph, short-haired.
Yep,
dog.
She's short-haired, and reddish in color, and she's a Heinz 57. So it may be just when there's a lot of genetic mixing, you're not going to have, very unlikely to have the kind of tricolored or Dalmatian sorts of coats that we see now, because those are heavily influenced by human artificial selection.
Mark, is speed a consideration? They've got to hunt all day long, 12, 15 hours. Will speed be rewarded?
Yeah, I mean, you know, dogs and canids are called cursorial animals because they're runners. But speed will be important, and also dexterity. You know, I've spent so many hours watching wild coyotes and then some wild wolves and actually feral dogs. They have to be really skillful in changing direction. They'll have to be physically fit to run fast, stop, or run for a long way, stop, and then run for a long way. So speed and dexterity will be very important traits for post-human dogs.
And moving in packs, can we presume that they'll revert to pack life the way the wild animals do, the wolves and the coyotes, Mark?
Oh, yeah. They will form packs. I mean, I've seen packs of wild dogs, and oftentimes they function just like wolf packs. I mean, one of the things that's important here, too, John, is that, you know, you said it before, you know, dogs are evolved wolves. They still have engrams in their brains going around. They've got dog genes. They're quite related. So we don't really know yet what we have selected out of the dog so that it wouldn't be in their behavioral repertoire. So yeah, they'll form packs, and I'm sure their packs will function a lot and be composed of animals who we see in wolf packs today.
We're speaking of a Planet Canis Familiaris, Lupus Familiaris, Planet Dog. The book is Jessica Pierce and Mark Beckhoff's A Dog's World, Imagining the Lives of Dogs in a World Without Humans. When we come back, puppies. How will the puppies thrive if they do? And what is the difference between puppies without humans and puppies with humans? I'm John Besh.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.